This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Lily Chai.
We're going to be with you for about an hour or thereabouts. And if you want to get in touch with us and talk to us, get us via WhatsApp. You can get us on 018-789-8899. And we're also available on Twitter at BFM Radio. We are talking today about intelligent manufacturing. Is it the future? Intelligent manufacturing or smart manufacturing started as a concept around 10 years ago. But how many of us actually know what that means and how it aligns with the concepts of Industry 4.0? We'll be hearing from Saj Kumar. He is the regional business lead for manufacturing at Microsoft Asia to get a bit of a background into what all of this means and also a look into how it's changing the manufacturing landscape. Lily, how much do you know about intelligent and smart manufacturing?
Quite a lot, I guess.
Do you?
No. Not much, but I think we can explore that in today's conversation.
Today's conversation will, of course, be shining a light on some of the stuff that we do and do not know. Now, there are many challenges manufacturers face these days, as we know. Supply chain disruptions, skill shortages, net zero objectives, and the ongoing effects of the pandemic, of course. And with all of these obstacles constantly changing, the best thing you can do to take your company is to be resilient. And part of being resilient involves being adaptive to ensure a good level of performance, even when you face difficulties. So optimizing an environment involves things like leveraging technology and data. And this is where intelligent manufacturing comes in.
Right. So what is intelligent manufacturing?
Intellectual manufacturing. That's an entirely different show.
I apologize, but it is intelligent manufacturing. Now, what does that mean? It also sometimes is referred to as a smart manufacturing. They're essentially the same thing. They are both used to describe a manufacturing process that utilizes automation, data collection, AI, machine learning, and some other forms of technology integration to optimize production conditions. Now, technology and innovation have been growing rapidly in all industries, which makes intelligent manufacturing a very popular and relevant topic right now. Mm-hmm. So this is very much in line with basic tenets of Industry 4.0, or more commonly known as the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which revolves around interconnectivity and the use of technology, digital technology in manufacturing.
Okay, so while the term intelligent manufacturing and Industry 4.0 have been a concept since the late 2000s and early 2010s, it's only in recent years seen more light as industries start to take notice and implement the necessary workings. And a study last year found 80% of manufacturers see smart processes as critical to their future success. Many have already started implementing some smart processes into their operations and assessing the outcomes. And with the advancement of innovation and technology, this growth has shown no signs of slowing down. This also signals that more businesses are adopting aspects of intelligent manufacturing into their production and will continue to do so in the future.
Right. So what is the key principle of intelligent manufacturing? It is to leverage on data across all levels of operation. Mm-hmm. So by collecting and analyzing data, production lines can be reviewed in real time to ensure an optimal production state and disruptions are kept at a minimum. So this can also help manufacturing facilities make immediate adjustments to their production lines to create a more optimized and high quality output. So if there are any issues or disruptions in the whole setup, it will be identified immediately because manufacturing process is all interconnected. Now, because there is such a big amount of granular data collected, mm-hmm. it can pick out the patterns that can be used to make the entire process more fluid and efficient. So being able to prevent manufacturing problems are very critical because they can help you reduce risk of poor quality products, downtime, and disruptions.
So another important component of intelligent manufacturing is that it allows for the production line to react to data being offered through automation. This can contribute towards damage mitigation when issues are alerted, or removing faulty products from the process. And having this degree of automation also means manual intervention is kept at a minimum, which can help decrease labor requirement, save time, cost, and waste. And by improving efficiency through the whole manufacturing process, operations can produce high quality output in as little time as possible, cutting that need of labor.
So concepts like AI and machine learning, which are commonly associated with smart manufacturing, can seem very intimidating, but it doesn't have to be very complicated. So the first thing that we could touch on, that you could touch on if you want to embark on the smart manufacturing journey, is first, start with data collection. So data is a key in intelligent manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It is also the first step towards implementation. So when you have more equipment with performance analysis, data can be accessed across all levels within the manufacturing process. Being able to gather these interconnected data, you get insights, and then it can help you make more informed decisions on optimizing processes.
You can also make making necessary adjustments. So the main benefit of being able to collect all this data is that ability to adjust production for better results and optimizing your workflow. Things like key metrics need to be established to allow for continual comparison of results, and pattern establishments to review progress against the set objectives. The easy access to data also allows for critical manufacturing and business decisions to be made based on accurate and real-time data.
Right. Another element of intelligent manufacturing is the automation aspect. So with automation in place, manual labor can be reduced or even avoided in some instances. And this can lead to saving time and money, especially now when skills and labor shortages have been a very prevalent problem. Mm-hmm. So by automating processes in line with intelligent manufacturing, production lines will be able to run without the need for intervention and will minimize the chances of disruptions as well.
The final thing that we want to talk about is continuous improvement. So once implementation of intelligent manufacturing has been put in place, it's important to also continue reviewing performance and re-optimizing production based on the collected data. There are no perfect conditions for manufacturing, but this continuous improvement helps bring that goal closer. And this is where intelligent manufacturing can help you adapt accordingly by providing the important data to ease the decision-making process. Mm. Now, I've learned from that. I mean, I kind of get it now, you know. But after the break, we'll be joined by Saj Kumar, who is the regional business lead for manufacturing at Microsoft Asia. He's going to give us an insight into current developments within the IR 4.0 space and also what intelligent manufacturing brings to the table, especially when it comes to the semiconductor industry. Stay tuned for that. And if you do have any questions or any points, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, we're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some music from UB40 with Grooving. We'll be right back here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Breathe freely, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Lily Chai.
What are we talking about today, Lily?
Today we're talking about intelligent manufacturing, not intellectual manufacturing.
If only we could manufacture intelligence.
Soon we can.
Well, you know, supposedly what schools and universities are for, right? I guess. But anyway, moving swiftly along. Folks, yeah, we are, of course, talking about intelligent manufacturing. And smart manufacturing, you might know it as well, started as a concept around 10 years ago. We knew what it was, but we needed a bit more of an explanation to kind of flesh it out a little bit. But we do have somebody who's a bit more knowledgeable than us, and by a bit, we mean quite a lot. We have on the line with us, it is Saj Kumar, the regional business lead for manufacturing at Microsoft Asia. Saj, so let's just start off the conversation. Just give us a brief overview of what, for those people who don't know, what Industry 4.0 covers and some of its concepts.
For us, Industry 4.0 is essentially about two things, the hardware side and the software side. And when we talk about hardware for Industry 4.0, it's essentially making sure that in the factory, you are connecting to all the machines that are making things, to get data from those machines. So that's number one, to make sure that you have the connectivity and the hardware necessary to get the plants online. On the software side, it's all about getting all of this huge amounts of data that's coming in from the machines, and then trying to get some intelligence out of this, out of the data, trying to drive towards specific outcomes. So it's basically a combination of these two things that makes Industry 4.0 really powerful.
But what makes the Industry 4.0 so compelling?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you go back to the history of, you know, evolution of manufacturing, right from the days of textile manufacturing to where we are today with advanced electronics, semiconductors, machinery, chemicals, et cetera, right? So we have progressed along the automation line in terms of making sure that you have machines that are faster on the shop floor, you have robots on the shop floor, you have automation that's kind of getting all of these machines connected. We have reached a point where, you know, with all this automation and advanced machinery in the shop floor, what do we do with all of that data that's coming in? I think that's where Industry 4.0 becomes really powerful. So give you an example. We're working with Pepsi Foods in their Cheetos line, where we're actually taking the data from the extruder that makes those Cheetos to ensure that you have repeatable quality in terms of the Cheeto that's being made, the different flavors. You want the same texture, you want the same shape, you want the same color, you want the same taste, right? So how do you ensure the repeatability? So it used to be dependent on the operator and his intelligence. And this is where data comes into play to see what are the conditions that you need in that particular piece of equipment to get that repeatable consistency of that Cheeto. And that's where, you know, use the data, use machine learning to drive more automation and get that product as customers or consumers would like it. This is one example. There are many examples. We're working, for instance, with Kawasaki in Japan with their robots to make sure that we have what is a digital twin, or, you know, what is now called the industrial metaverse, to get a digital twin of the robot and understand how these things are performing. So it's all a combination of advances in manufacturing technology on the shop floor and advances in data and artificial intelligence, machine learning. The combination of these two coming together is what's really transforming factories today.
And how do you think Industry 4.0 has impacted or transformed the way industries work currently?
So number one is, I think, productivity. If you look at factories, I think the whole idea is to make sure that, you know, you're producing as much as you can within the constraints that you have, whether it's the labor or whether it's the machines, whether it is the physical space that you have. So how do you produce more, and how do you make sure that the machines are running all the time? You have minimum downtime or machines going down for whatever reason, making sure that your quality is at the highest level possible, and getting more product out of the door. I think that's where, when you look at the transformation that's happened, is basically making sure that we get to that level of productivity within factories.
Right. So the semiconductor manufacturing industry is such a vital part of the whole technology driving industries. So how has Industry 4.0 helped in development within this space in aspects such as intelligent manufacturing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the last couple of years has really exposed some of the challenges that we have within semiconductors, particularly, you know, as consumers, we've seen us being impacted by delays in, you know, whatever electronic products we buy, or the automotive industry, which is now heavily dependent on semiconductors for many aspects of the vehicle. So when we looked at the supply chain within semiconductors, semiconductors is essentially driven by, you know, large capital expense, which is what is required to set up a semiconductor fab or a fabrication plant. And then you have a cycle in which, you know, you build that plant, and then you get into a cycle where, you know, it runs, and then, you know, you have to, probably about 6 years or so used to be the previous semiconductor kind of cycle in terms of building a plant, getting it to peak, then again kind of going into a slump. But what we've seen in the last few years, that those cycles are now shrinking, where you need to build more and more fabrication plants quickly. And unfortunately, what happened was during the pandemic, the demand for electronics and consumer devices went so high that the capacity that existed at that point in time wasn't enough to meet the demand, which is why we are seeing now a huge investment in capital expenses for semiconductors. So how will manufacturing actually transform within the semiconductor fab? The second part of the question. So once you have the fab, how do you get more wafers or semiconductor chips out of the fab? And that's where, you know, the whole idea of in a constrained environment like a fab, how do you produce more and how do you ensure that you have the highest level of yield possible? So semiconductors are subject to what is known as a yield problem. When you produce a semiconductor wafer, especially in the initial stages, you get very low yield, maybe as low as 30%, 40%. So which means that, you know, you need to ramp up very quickly in order to make sure that you get the highest possible yield, which will then produce a number of chips that you need to serve the market. So making sure that you compress the cycle to get the maximum amount of yield possible. And that's where, you know, the data and intelligence comes into play, because then you can start using actual data from the fab, trying to analyze anomalies that are happening in the fabrication floor. Are there quality issues that we can detect because of some process conditions? Could I do something better? So these are areas in which, you know, Industry 4.0 has a huge play in making sure that we can get semiconductor fabs, produce more wafers, and eventually more chips out to meet end consumer demand.
Saj, can I just kind of get you to look ahead a little bit and kind of give us a glimpse of what, you know, the future of semiconductor, intelligent manufacturing factories, I guess, might look like?
Absolutely. So the number one thing I think in semiconductors, actually in any industry, is what we call time to market. So from the point when you design a chip to when you actually get it out into a product, you want to shrink that as much as possible. And obviously there are constraints, typical what we call cycle times in a fab are about 16 weeks, 18 weeks, right? So that you can't shrink much, but there are things upstream. So the first thing is in the R&D engineering cycle. So when you, from a design of the chip, trying to get that into a fabrication facility and trying to get to what we call a tape out into the fab, you want to make sure that's as fast as possible. So with Microsoft, what we're doing is we're working with many of our customers, especially the foundries, to provide engineering services in the cloud, which we provide through what we call high-performance computing environments that allows our customers, especially the fabless companies, to work with their fabrication suppliers, wherever they are, Singapore, Malaysia, Taiwan, and then make sure that you get your designs out as quickly as possible into the fabrication facility. So that's number one, the work that we're doing in what we call high performance computing to make sure that the designs can be quickly released to factories. Second area is in actually in manufacturing, in actually looking at the fabrication facility, getting data from the fab, working with them on yield analysis, equipment analysis, predictive maintenance. So you want to make sure that your machines are running, you're getting good quality data, you're doing the quality analysis, you're doing the anomaly detection. So that way, what you can do is you can get more wafers out as quickly as possible. So the intelligent fab for us is all about driving the R&D aspect in terms of making sure things are released to the fab faster. Number two is making sure that we have the predictive maintenance to make sure that the machines are always up and that you can make sure that the fabs are running full time. Number three is to get enough data from the fab to do yield analysis, improve the quality of the wafer that's coming out so if you can produce more. And number four is actually to get to the supply chain aspect of it in terms of how do you ship these globally, right? Because the wafers that are made anywhere need to be shipped. So the supply chain in terms of getting real-time visibility of where these things are, how they move from the fab to the assembly and test, from there to move into the end, not the end, basically into maybe an assembly plant, and then from the assembly plant shipping into a warehouse to maybe the retailer, and then finally the end consumer. It's a very long supply chain, and it's a global supply chain. So getting the real-time visibility and making sure that you ship products to customers faster. So it's actually in these areas. So to summarize, it's R&D, it's maintenance, it's quality, it's supply chain.
Great. Thanks for that, Sarge. We need to take a short break whilst we digest all of that. That, of course, is Sarge Kumar. He's the regional business lead for manufacturing over at Microsoft Asia, giving us his insights into current developments within the IR 4.0 space and what intelligent manufacturing brings to the table, especially, of course, in the semiconductor industry. If you've got any questions or any comments, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. Let's have some music from the Foo Fighters. Big Me up next here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
I have a dream.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, and of course,
Lily Chai.
We are talking today about Internet 4.0. We're not talking about Internet 4.0 at all. We're talking about Industry 4.0 and intelligent manufacturing and smart manufacturing, how it started off as a concept around 10 years ago. But, you know, not many of us actually knew what it meant. And our guest, Sarge Kumar, who is the regional business lead for manufacturing over at Microsoft Asia, has been talking us through what it can mean and how it can change things. He's still with us right now, so I want to pick up where we left off. Sarge, so how do you think advancements in AI will further fuel this advance in intelligent manufacturing?
Oh, absolutely. So when we look at machine learning, AI from a Microsoft perspective, I tend to look at it from two perspectives. One is what we call cognitive AI, which is basically using cognitive services like in a vision, sound, you know, speech, text, so things of that nature. So number one is to ensure that when you have people in the shop floor in manufacturing in a fab, can you provide cognitive services that will help the operator on the shop floor? So whether it's giving him instructions through maybe a HoloLens or a device, a mixed reality device, to make sure that he gets instructions and allows him to use his hands to do certain things, right? So that's where the cognitive services comes into play. Secondly, it also includes things like visual inspection. So if you have a wafer or maybe a chip or a die, using a camera to inspect the surface and using AI to then analyze those images and then provide intelligence in terms of good versus bad on a particular wafer. So that is where, you know, the machine learning today can provide extremely quick responses in terms of analyzing these images and providing real-time quality information to an operator. Then on the other side, in terms of the data side of AI, is where fabs typically generate from a semiconductor perspective, which is probably on the leading edge. You get about 95 GB or 100 GB of data every minute, typically, maybe sometimes more than that. So with this huge amounts of data, it's humanly impossible to sit and analyze the data in the time that you need to act on that data. And that's where, you know, when you look at machine learning today and also growth in data, how do we handle large volumes of data, put that into like a data warehouse, use data science and machine learning to analyze data to provide real-time feedback to the plant saying, hey, there's something suspicious about this particular lot based on the data that I'm getting in. Can we quickly take corrective action to stop before I start producing more and more bad lots that will then end up in defective products, right? So this is where the two aspects, the cognitive side and then the data side, which is where I think machine learning has a huge play in many aspects of manufacturing.
Right. Sarge, what are the main drivers behind this push towards implementing intelligent aspects into the whole manufacturing process?
Number one is, of course, productivity, to make sure that you are today we are heavily constrained, especially in the post-COVID world, with shortages of skilled labor, with capacity constraints, as you know, for instance, in semiconductors. So you want to make sure that you're producing as much as possible, right? So that's number one, productivity, low labor and machine productivity. Number two is where you want to drive highest level of quality. So trying to get insights from the machines to make sure that you get that to that 90, 99% level of quality of the products that you produce, which again requires large amounts of data analysis, machine learning, et cetera. And number three, I think, is using the data that's coming in from the plant to understand how machines are performing. Do you foresee a point maybe a week down the line, 2 weeks down the line, where there could be a potential failure in the machine that could cause it to go down? So things like predictive maintenance are becoming more the norm today. Of course, applying to certain critical components and critical machinery which are prone to failure.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about challenges and challenges for people involved in this industry, in particular, the challenges that leaders might face when it comes to implementing Industry 4.0. How do you think they can overcome those challenges?
So I would kind of put this in maybe in two buckets. Number one, for any Industry 4.0 implementation to be successful, number one is to make sure that you are actually getting the data that you need from plants. The challenge today is that, you have a lot of brownfield plants. Not every plant is brand new, or you can design from scratch and make it like an Industry 4.0 compliant kind of a plant. It's more in terms of, I have a lot of old plants which are running. How do I get those brownfield sites to become ready to embark on Industry 4.0 project? So that is where, we need to be able to understand the state of technology in those plants. Some of these machines could be 30, 40 years, maybe even a lot older than that. How do you connect to this machine? So number one is getting connected, getting the data, using IoT technology with Microsoft Azure, IoT services. We have IoT Edge to be able to connect to these machines. Number two is once you get the data in the from these equipments that you've connected to, the issue is how do you get the right people who can analyze this data? You have, of course, the subject matter experts in the plant who are the operators, the technicians, the experts on the line, but they don't have the skills necessary to do data analysis. That's not what they're trained for, right? So you need like a data scientist, right? And they're actually in short supply. So how do you bridge that gap that you have in terms of analyzing the data, given the resource constraint? So when you look at these two problems, I think fundamentally it comes down to one, how do we make sure connections can happen better? So Microsoft has done a lot of work, especially connecting to some of the older machines. We've done that effectively with Unilever, with many of their plants globally, some very old plants. We have the technology to go in and connect to some of these older machines. Number two is when it comes to the data analysis, we've actually gone down the path of saying, do you need a data scientist for every application, or can I teach the subject matter expert, in this case, an operator, to be able to use the tool to build what is called a machine learning model, right? Without being able to teach him how to code, right? That's going to be a steep curve for many of them. So what we've done now is we've kind of created autonomous AI models. So we're moving towards a stage where we're actually curating autonomous machine learning. And some of the examples that I can give you is in CNC machines with a company called NOV that make drill oil well tubes, and where they have CNC machines. And typically when it comes to CNC machines, you have an operator who's required to kind of tune the CNC machine to bring the tolerances down to minimum in order to be able to machine those the steel pipes. What we did was we actually used the subject matter expert, and we used like a model to create these autonomous AI models that can now go in and automatically tune the CNC machine without operator intervention as small a time as maybe a few minutes with higher levels of tolerances than what an expert operator could do. I think that's where we're getting to in terms of driving autonomous machine learning. I think that's where we believe that we can address some of the challenges we're seeing in plants, and how technologies like this, like autonomous AI that Microsoft provides, can add value.
Right. So there have been events and forums talking about how to drive forward the awareness and importance of Industry 4.0. So something a little bit closer around this region is the ITAP, ITAP 2022 happening in mid-October. And we heard you will be speaking at that event. Can you tell us more about it?
It's true. I think, you know, we have, this is the fifth year of ITAP, as you probably know, which is the Hanover MSA Industry Transformation Asia Pacific edition. And we believe forums like this are really useful to bring both the hardware side and the software side together. The automation side in terms of whether it's machinery, robotics, connectivity, IoT, edge tools, and also hardware that we provide, like mixed reality solutions like a Microsoft HoloLens. And then on the other side, you see the software side in terms of how Microsoft is bringing our own IoT platform, our machine learning capabilities, our data capabilities to bring all of this together into one single thing. And events like this allow customers to come in and experience what does it look like through actual models. So scaled down versions of a factory, HoloLens that they can play with. So this gives them that the real world experience that they may not get if they're in a factory in a remote location, right? So this is where we can bring in technology in one location. And at the same time, also listen to experts who are presenting either at our booth or in the general session and then panel discussion. So this is where I think there's the power of events like this. Now that we are past COVID, getting people together, getting people to experience, because manufacturing has always been about actual touch and feel things, right? It's rarely about PowerPoint or presentation. It's all about how does this actually work in the plant. And events like this actually showcase this very well, which we could not do in the previous years with COVID. But now that we're open, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for customers to get together to see the real world in action, some of the innovations that have happened over the last 2+ years, and meet other customers and meet fellow colleagues. I think that's what I would say.
Great. Thank you very much for that. That was Saj Kumar, the Regional Business Lead for Manufacturing at Microsoft Asia, giving us his insights into current developments within the IR 4.0 space and telling us about intelligent manufacturing. Well, there you go. Folks, if you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app that is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Me and Lily are going to wrap up for the day today, but of course we will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I believe we're talking about the budget tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Don't go anywhere though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. 2022 was supposed to be the year for recovery momentum to continue, but the looming theme now is recession. Brian Colton, the chief economist at Fitch Ratings, talked to us this morning about the factors that created this perfect storm for the global economy in recent months, its global GDP forecast, and whether central banks are in danger of over-tightening. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. All sounds like good, exciting, fun stuff, doesn't it? Not doom and gloom at all. But to take us to the top of the hour, of course, we do have some music. So let's lighten the mood a little bit. Doris Troy with Can't Hold On, followed by Arcade Fire with Everything Now, here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.